the Lamed Zion, Hashem replies to David. As I'm sure we all remember from last week in Lamed Vav, David HaMelech gave us instructions on how to fight the Yetzer Hara, and how to keep our eye on the in our heart in the correct manner, and how to fight the Yetzer Hara. And this week's kapitel is Hashem, if you will's reply. There's no tefillas, and there's no requests, and there's no speaking to Hashem in this particular week's kapitel, but rather, it's simply instruction. David HaMelech ended off last kapitel with a tefillah for us to be matzliach, successful in fighting the Yetzer Hara. This week we have a rather lengthy 40-verse-long kapitel, which is Hashem, David HaMelech, Hashem's answer as to what one could do if one wishes to receive such a bracha from Hashem. It's arranged according to the Aleph base, only in a somewhat unusual pattern. Every fourth half verse starts with the next letter, if that makes sense. Every fourth half verse starts with the next letter. So, Aleph, 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 Beis, 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 Gimel, 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 Gimel. So three half pasuks of Aleph, three half pasukim of Beis, three half pasukim of Gimel, etc. Usually when a kapitel is arranged according to the Aleph Beis, it's an indication that it's more of an instructional kapitel than it is a tefillah or a request type kapitel. Now, the truth is the Sephorno learns that this entire kapitel is not just instruction, but refers to the conflict that will be coming after David and Shlomo's time between the northern kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Yehuda. However, the Sephardim is the only one that understands this kapitel that way, and he has a very lengthy description of how all of that fits. And I'm telling you that, but we're going to put that aside, and we're going to learn the kapitel the way all the Meforshim learn the kapitel, which is that it's an instruction from Hashem through David. The kapitel has five sections, as you see here on the sections which are outlined. Section 1, David is going to remind us to trust in Hashem. Section 2, he's going to explain to us that Tzaddik is saved from the sword of the wicked. Section 3, he's going to teach about the righteous man who's saved from famine. Section 4 will teach how the righteous man is saved from false charges. And section 5, the conclusion, will remind people to put their trust only into Hashem. Once again, I'm afraid I had to use the photocopies of that were not quite as clear as the ones we had been using. As soon as we find where we misplaced the one we had been copying from, we will.
I have it.
Okay, so we might want to borrow that because we. I don't know if we loaned it to someone or what exactly you did with that. So this is not quite as clear, but we'll try and start anyway. So we're on Lamed Zion, Pasuk Aleph, the first section. The first section where David's going to remind us to trust in Hashem. And he starts off with Pasuk Aleph, and the only introduction here is L'David. No Mizmor L'David, no Shir L'David, no L'David Mizmor, just L'David. Anytime we see L'David by itself, it means there's no Shira, there's no song, there's no prayer, but rather it's instruction. This is L'David. This is what David is telling you. This is L'David. Al Tichar Mireim. Al tikane ba'ose avla. Do not compete. And we're going to keep that translation in mind. Tichar. Do not compete with the tricksters. And do not be jealous of those who commit injustice. Now, what does it mean to compete with tricksters? To compete with tricksters. So the word tichar, the Meforshim go at great lengths to try to understand what exactly that word means. And most of the Meforshim say it means don't try and imitate their success. Don't try and compete with people who do things improperly on their own terms. Just because they're doing something in a way that is not proper, al tizkar, don't try and do it the same way yourself. Don't fall into the trap of doing what you see other people do. However, the Ibn Ezra has a very interesting bishad. He says it means don't be angry with them, with the tricksters. Don't be angry when you see that someone who is an evil trickster seems to be successful. Don't become angry with that. And Chazal have a beautiful drush in the Gemara. They say, Al Tischar, don't argue with them. And don't tell them that their success is not this or not that, because if whatever you see is the Ratzon Hashem. So Chazal darshan in that, but the simple meaning is, don't try and imitate, and don't try and compete with tricksters on their own terms, and don't be jealous of people who are doing things wrong. Now, what does that mean? Don't be jealous of people who are doing things wrong. How many people can get rid of all jealousy in themselves completely? Raise your hands. It's impossible. So don't be jealous of people who are doing things wrong. When you see someone who's doing something wrong, yet they seem to gain from it, don't be jealous of that. But Chazal explained, rather than trying to wipe out jealousy within ourselves, a person should try and use their kina, their jealousy, for good. Every mida can be used for good or bad. A person can be jealous either of the success of someone, or a person can be jealous of how well someone learns Torah. A person can be jealous of how much money a person has, or a person can be jealous of how refined someone else's midos are. So it doesn't say don't have jealousy. It says don't be jealous of those who do things improperly. Ki hechotzer mehera yimalu, for they will be speedily cut off, v'chiyerech desha yibolin, like grass, and they will wither away like green vegetation. What does it mean to wither away like green vegetation? What happens when something grows out of the ground? Up come the leaves, and along come the animals, along comes Scooter Bear, and he eats the top part, the leafy part, the part that sticks out of the ground. All right, Scooter Bear might not, but whatever comes out of the ground gets eaten. What stays uneaten? The roots. So people who do things wrong, their actions will wither like green vegetation. Meaning that something will come along and eat it, but the root is still there so that the person can do teshuvah and can still grow back from the root. Hashem never is cutting off the root. So people who do things evilly will be cut off like grass. They'll be withering like green vegetation. It says, Bat ta'ach ba'Hashem, turn the page. Batach ba'Hashem, trust in Hashem. Ve'asei tov, shechein aretz urei emuna. And do good, dwell in the land, and be nourished by your faith. Be nourished by your faith. Faith, do good because of your faith. Faith is, emuna, is the cause of all good deeds. Emuna, believing in Hashem, has to lead to action. Someone says, I believe in Hashem. So what? It only counts if it leads to the proper actions. Emuna leads to Aseh Tov. I remember I heard Rabbi Reisman talking once. He gave a gevaldik shir on being meichel people and giving mechila. And the next week, one of the regular participants in the shir said, you know what? I heard your point, Rebbe. It was gevaldik a point. I took your point to heart. In fact, I believe in your point so much, I wrote it up, and I put it on the refrigerator so my wife could learn from it. Did he have emuna in the point at all? No. If he'd had emuna, he'd have done something about it. He had enough emuna to put it on the refrigerator for his wife to do. That's not emuna. Emuna leads to doing something good. All right, to doing the actions on yourself. And then you'll be able to dwell in the land in prosperity and tranquility. If a person dwells in the land, you dwell in Eretz Yisrael, you don't want to dwell in Eretz Yisrael amongst trouble and turmoil and financial struggles. You want to have prosperity and tranquility. And you have to have emuna for that to happen, but the kind of emuna that leads a person to do good things. V'yiz'ane gal Hashem v'yitein l'cha mishalis libecha. And you'll have delight, you'll have einig in Hashem, and he'll give you what your heart desires. Where else do we have the word einig? Einig. Say it again, Pai. Einig Shabbos. Take delight in Hashem and his Shabbos. For even on Shabbos, a person can put aside their worries. David HaMelech says, Gol al Hashem, Commit to Hashem darchecha and to his ways, and trust in him, and he will act. In other words, cast your burdens on Hashem. Trust in Hashem, and Hashem will act. Hashem will take care of it. We said before, what was David HaMelech's foreign policy? David HaMelech's foreign policy, girls know what a foreign policy is? If you're in charge of a country, you have to decide how you're going to act to other countries, to foreign countries. That's called your foreign policy. So let's say you're the president of the United States, and you have to decide what's your policy towards Canada. What's your policy towards Mexico? What's your policy towards Egypt? What's your policy towards Cuba? What's your policy in Iraq? If you're David HaMelech, you have to decide what's your foreign policy towards Syria? What's your foreign policy towards Egypt? So David HaMelech and Hashem had a deal. The deal was David HaMelech will learn Torah and Hashem will be in charge of foreign policy. So David HaMelech is saying, you know what? Who are you saying? Put your troubles onto Hashem. He'll take care of it. Right, and he will reveal your righteousness like a light, and your judgments like noon. What does it mean that he will reveal your righteousness like a light, like the light? How does light come up when it's dark outside? Let's say you're standing out in a farm, and you can't really see anything. And all of a sudden, you see like little tiny rays of light coming over the horizon. And you think you start to see some things. And then it gets a little lighter, and gradually you see more and more, till all of a sudden you can see everything. Says David HaMelech, you trust in Hashem, and that's how things are revealed by Hashem. Hashem reveals things by illuminating them bit by bit. And Hashem will reveal righteousness like the light of dawn, and his judgments like noon. Now, how do you see things at noon? Clear? Clear. Say clear.
Clear.
Clear, very good. So you see things at noon very clearly. So people's righteousness, you can't always see. You can't always see how much of a tzaddik somebody is, can you?
No.
Right? But in Olam Haba, at the end of time, Hashem will reveal it. It'll become like a light coming up over the horizon, and you'll realize, whoa, look at that. Wow, I could see this. I never thought of that. But the righteousness of Hashem is like the sun at noon. It's completely clear. Says David HaMelech, Dom LaHashem. V'his chaylela lo tachser b'milotz of darko v'ish oseh yechpots. The word dom, they translate here as wait. Wait for Hashem and hope for him. Don't compete with one whose way prospers and with a man who executes the word dome means one of two things. It either means to be silent or it means to delay, to take a long time to do something. So according to the Targum, he's saying dome LaHashem, be silent in front of Hashem. Because Hashem will take away all of your doubts.
I think the collating.
Or the collating, a little problem. That's why execute is left off there. So you really should skip. You really should skip from 132 to 133.
This one says, desist from anger and abandon wrath. Do not envy. It only brings harm.
That his day will come. Sorry about that miscollation there. Excuse the three. Now, what does it mean? Don't. So let's start again on Zion here, and we're going to have to jump to 133. We're looking for 132 actually. We're missing a page.
What page?
Where's page 132? Everybody has it except me. Can I have one of those extras over there? Thank you. Thank you. So really, you all are unconfused, and I was the only one that was confused. Okay. No wonder you were all looking at me somewhat funny, like I couldn't read. Okay. Wait for the Lord and hope for him. Do not compete with one who prospers, with a man who executes mizmais, tricky plans, mizimois, is somewhat are plans that are done in a tricky and sneaky manner. Now Rashi says that dome really means delay or to take a long time doing something. Take a long time to Hashem and hope for Him. What does that mean? Take a long time with Hashem. Relax. Don't be overwhelmed by events in your life. Radak says, this is a beautiful verse, says, Dom La Hashem means don't rush to Hashem. Don't be overwhelmed by everything. Dom La Hashem. Wait. Relax. Don't run quickly, Hashem. V'yischalalo and hope in Him. Al tachzav v'matzliach darko. Be'ish osei mezimos. And don't compete. There's that same word again. And don't try and emulate and compete the success of a person who's doing trickery. So, let's put this whole pasuk together. Wait to see Hashem and hope in Him. Don't rush to be emulating the ways of people who do tricky things. What are all these words trying to say here? Dom Lashem. Don't become overwhelmed with things. What happens when we look around and see what's happening? Things tend to come at us one after another, and what happens is we get overwhelmed by events, and we see what other people are doing, and immediately we jump and we start doing things the way other people do. And before you know it, you're rushing around doing things that you're not really thinking through. So says David HaMelech, Dom Lashem, don't get overwhelmed. Take it slow, Lashem, and bring it to Hashem. Don't get overwhelmed by events and rush in and try and emulate what you see other people doing. Harif me'af ve'ezev heima. Stay away from anger and stay away from wrath. Al niksar ach la'oreya. And don't compete only to do evil. Over and over again, the theme. People tend to emulate what they see other people doing. So, for example, let's say in the 7th grade at Beis Yaakov. Let's use that as an example. In the 7th grade at Beis Yaakov, Paya, what happens if one girl starts joking around and not listening? Then everybody else starts joking around and not listening. Why? Have they thought it through?
No.
Think it through. Don't rush to emulate what you see other people doing.
Yes. Is that example
for senior class? It's whoever it thinks it fits to them.
Me.
For the evil people are going to be cut off. And they'll not inherit the land. Ve'od me'ad ve'ein Russia. And if a little while later, the Russia won't even be there. V'iz bonanta al mekayma ve'einenu. And you look at his place and he's not even there anymore. Pasuk gid alav navim yirshu aretz. But the humble people, the modest people, they'll inherit the land. But he's an gu'arov shalom. And they will enjoy it in peace. So the people who think they're going to accomplish a lot, one day you're going to wake up and look around and they're not going to be there. And instead, the people who have been humble, and the people who have been humble, and the people who have tried to follow in the ways of Hashem, they'll be left to enjoy the land in peace and prosperity.
You know, you were giving me the girls are not here, but you know, I stop here.
And that's what David HaMelech is talking about. Don't rush after these kinds of things.
That is correct.
Now, that's the first section of the kapitel. David HaMelech has sort of given us an introduction and reminded us that, you know what? Don't run after everything that you see people doing. Hashem will take care of the situation. Hashem will reward those who deserve it, and those who have been patient, and those who have been humble and not overasserted themselves. That's introduction, says David HaMelech. Now he says, you know what? Let's go on to the next section, says David HaMelech. Well, Zaymeim Rasha Letzadik. The Rasha plots against the Tzadik. The Charek Alav Shinav. And he gnashes his teeth at him. Hashem yizchak lo, but Hashem will laugh at it. He ra'a ki avayayma, because he sees that his day will come. Hashem laughs at him. Imagine the foolishness of someone thinking that they can go and trick their way to success. Well, Hashem knows how it's going to come out. Right? The whole thing is so absurd that if you were to stop to think about it for a moment, Hashem is just laughing. Because he knows how it's going to come out. So Hashem Kavayachal is laughing. The David HaMelech goes on to say, Cherev Pasachu Rishoyim V'darchem Kashtem Lahapil Ani V'Evyon Litboach Yishrei Derech. The Rishoyim, they started a war and they bent their bow against the poor and the needy and tried to slay those who walk on a straight path. They drew their sword. What is it about people who do things wrong? They draw their sword. They don't necessarily need any provocation. How many people have had someone be mean to them and said, what did I do to deserve that? What did I do to that person? Now, you may have done something in Shammai, but why is this person doing something to me? Well, you know what? If a person is exhibiting evil behavior, they don't need a reason. The fact that there's a sword is reason enough for a rasha. A rasha sees a sword and can't leave it in the sheath. Sheath? Is that the word? Can't leave it in the sheath, has to draw it. Draws it against the poor and needy and walk on a straight path, but says David HaMelech, you know what's going to happen? Charbam tavo belibam. The sword shall enter their own heart. V'kashtosem tishavarna. And their bows will be broken. Mida keneged mida. Just as they plan to do, so too shall be done to them.
Alright. Yes. Define a Rasha. I know what it is. I learned it.
A Rasha in the context of what David HaMelech is saying is someone who is going deliberately against what Hashem wants him to do. So someone who is trying to do something that is against what is the Ratzon Hashem is defined here by David HaMelech as a Rasha. Hashem wants him to do X, but he decides he's going to do Y. Without regard to what Hashem wants. So David HaMelech calls such a person a Rasha. And that Rasha, says David HaMelech, their sword they draw against someone else is going to enter their own heart, and the bows they tried to use to shoot arrows at you are going to be broken. What David HaMelech is describing is a Mida Keneged Mida. There's a common misconception about Mida Keneged Mida. It's not a misconception as much as misconstruing. It's true that Hashem gives out punishments, mida keneged mida. But we talked about the fact in past weeks that Hashem makes the world to appear to work in a certain way. We have gravity, right? If I take the cell phone and I drop it on the ground, gravity, what we call gravity, will make it fall to the ground. Because that's the way Hashem wants the world to work. Mida keneged mida is the way the world works. Just like there's gravity, there's a law of mida keneged mida. When you do something, it comes back to you in the same way you did it. Not because Hashem is making a special nace that the Russia Chaim Yankel is going to be punished in such a way, but because that's the way the world works. When you shoot the bow, it comes back at you. Mida keneged mida is the way the world works. It's just like gravity. It's just like air. It's just like any other thing that we call a natural law. There's a natural law of mida keneged mida. Now, it's also true that when Hashem decides a person needs a certain punishment, etc., he'll do it mida keneged mida. But there's a certain way that the world works, a derech ha-teva way, that things come back to a person mida keneged mida. A person who insults others will themselves become insulted. A person that harms others will themselves become harmed, just because that's the way the world works. So mida keneged mida doesn't just mean that when Hashem decides you need a special extra punishment, he gives it to you in the way that you did the avera. It means that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Who was it, Galileo? One of those scientists, Newton, one of those... I have to get my 8th grade kids in here, who said for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, was describing the world in more emes than he even knew. That's exactly the way the world works, mida keneged mida. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It says, David HaMelech, tov me'at l'tzadik, a few of the righteous, me'hamon rishoyim rabin, are better than a whole lot of rishoyim. Now Rashi says that means exactly what it sounds like. A few tzadikim are superior, in Hashem's view, to all, a whole big pile of Rishayim. But the Radak says, no, you know what it means? It means, Tov me'at l'tzadik. The tzadik only needs a little. Me'hamon rishoyim rav, but the rishoyim need a lot. A tzadik is content with relatively meager resources and is not interested in pursuing trickery to gain excessive wealth. Because a tzaddik realizes that excessive wealth is a tremendous nesayon from Hashem. I was once joking with someone about winning the lottery. And we started thinking about it. You know, first who wins the lottery, they have these lotteries nowadays that are like $100 million. It's more money, truthfully, than I can picture. $100 million. Somebody would walk over and give me a check. The IRS would take half of it. They would give me a check for $50 million. Now, after 120 years, I'm going to have 50 million cheshbainis in Shemai. I'm going to have to give a din v'cheshbin on every single dollar and whether I spent it appropriately or not. So a tzaddik, while he may wish to have wealth or comfort or not to have material suffering, does not desire excessive wealth to the point where it's such a nesayon that he's going to have a din v'cheshbin on how did he spend $50 million. That's a pretty big din v'cheshbon. A person could give away $40 million to tzedakah and be judged unfavorably. Because maybe the other $10 million weren't spent properly. So he's going to have 40 million yay votes and 10 million nay votes. I personally have taken the approach to this problem of not having a lot of wealth, which is one approach. But tzedikim says the Radak, it says, tov me'at l'tzadik. Tzadik only needs a certain amount. Whatever that amount is, he knows what he needs, and that's all he needs. Mehamon Rishayim Rabbim, but Rishayim, they need everything. Says David HaMalkin, Kizroyas Rishayim, Tishbarana V'somech Tzadikim Hashem. But the arms of the Rishayim are going to be broken, and Hashem will support the Tzadikim. So that's the end of the second section of the Kapitel. David HaMelech started off by telling us about trusting in Hashem. Now he's telling us about, you know what? A tzaddik has the support of Hashem. A tzaddik knows what he needs, and those are the only thing that he wants. Now David HaMelech goes on to the next section to describe further what happens to a tzaddik and how a tzaddik is saved. David HaMelech says, Yodei Hashem Yimei... Over here. Yodei Hashem Yimei Samimim Banachloisim Loyalam Tiyah. Hashem knows the days of innocent people, and their inheritance will be forever. Their inheritance will be forever. Everything a person does, says David HaMelech, has significance towards their eternal reward in Olam Haba. It's almost a paralyzing thought. The person gets up in the morning, and they're awake for, let's say, 15, 16 hours a day, times 60 minutes, times 60 seconds. Every action during every one of those seconds, says David HaMelech, has an influence and a significance for your eternal Olam Haba. So David HaMelech, Nachaloisam le'olam tiyah. Your inheritance will be forever. What you do, you will receive forever. And a tzaddik will not be ashamed in times of famine, and in days of famine he shall have plenty. Now, in days of famine he shall have plenty. Does that mean that there are no hungry people ever in the world, or that all hungry people are rishoyim? What David HaMelech is saying is that in the days of famine, the tzaddikim, the people who act properly, will have plenty, assuming they put in the proper effort. Assuming they plant, and assuming they sow, and assuming they thresh, and assuming they put in all of their proper hishtadlus and effort, bimei ra'avon yisabaru. In the days of famine, they'll have plenty. Ki rishayim yivedu v'ayvi Hashem, ki yakar karayim kalu v'ashen kal. For the wicked will perish, and people who are against Hashem are like disappearing light on the plains. And here we have the opposite. where the light disappears. How does the light disappear on the plains? It just slowly fades out. And you look around, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Like David HaMelech said before, they'll be gone, and who will be left? The people who are Navim will be left. David HaMelech says, you know what? A Russia borrows and doesn't pay. But Hashem, the Tzaddik, I'm sorry, but a Tzaddik, Chaynein V'Noseh. He is gracious and he gives. So a Russia borrows and doesn't pay, but a Tzaddik is gracious and he gives. So Rav Simchon Raphael Hirsch says, a Russia borrows but he doesn't pay. The more Hashem gives you in the world, the greater is your obligation to give something back. Just like the larger of a loan you take from the bank, the more you have to pay back. So the Russia borrows and borrows and borrows, and takes and takes and takes from Hashem and doesn't give anything back. He's constantly going back to the bank and wanting a bigger loan, and he wants it rolled over into another 6 months, and he wants a forbearance, and he wants to keep going, and he doesn't want to have to pay back the loan. Forget about interest. But it's tzaddik, chaynein, he's graceful, v'noseh, and he gives even more than the loan. I'll give you back what you gave, and I'll give you a little bit extra also. That means that tzaddik is allowed to give back with interest then. For those that are blessed, have a bracha from Hashem, they'll inherit the land, and the cursed people will be cut off. It doesn't get any simpler than that. There's going to come a time when we're all going to get up and we're all going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know who's going to Eretz Yisrael? The Mevorachov, the people who are blessed. What's happening to the cursed people, the people that are Rishayim? The Kares, they're cut off. So Zad HaMelech, May Hashem Mitzadeh Gavr Karnanu, from Hashem, the steps of a strong man are established. V'darko yechpatz. And he delights in his ways. A strong man, mitzadik, a gaver, gever, is someone who excels in learning Torah, say the Mefarshim. So from Hashem, someone who excels in learning Torah and who spends a lot of his time learning Torah, his steps are established and he delights in his way. He is set his way. Ki yipol lo yutal ki Hashem somechata. If he falls down, he won't be cast down because Hashem supports him. But this is an important thing. A tzaddik is not a person that never stumbles. People stumble. A rasha is not someone who's trying to do the will of Hashem and trying to be an Eved Hashem, but you know what? Sometimes you fail. So that kind of person is never cut off. Ki yipol, if he falls, lo yutal, he's not cast down. Ki Hashem so mechado, Hashem will take his hand. Nar ha-yisigam zakanti, I was young, and also I was old. V'lo ha-yitzi tzadik nezav, and I never saw a tzaddik forsaken, v'zaro mevakesh lachem, and having to go out and seeking and needing bread. The David HaMelech sounds a little bit strong here. I was young and I was old and I've never seen. David HaMelech is saying, you know what? I've earned this right to say this. After everything I've been through in my life, says David HaMelech, after everything that I've been through, ups and downs and trials and tribulations in my relationship with Hashem, Nara Yisi, I've been like a little child with Hashem, Dam Zakanti, and I've been like an old man with Hashem. Rehor Yisi Tzadik, and I never, ever, ever saw Hashem forsake a Tzadik. Bezaro Mevakesh Lechem, and the seed of a Tzadik, the descendants, I never saw them seeking and needing bread. Bezaro, where did we get the kids all here all of a sudden? The Pasuk should have stopped. If I was David HaMelech, I would have said, Nara Yisi Gam Zakanti, V'lower Ayitzi Tzadik Nezal. I never saw a Tzadik forsaken. End of Pasuk. What about all of a sudden, and the children I never saw seeking bread? So David HaMelech, what is he trying to say here about children? What happens to the children of a Tzadik? What do they learn?
Tzidkis.
They learn Tzidkis. They learn to copy the actions of their parents. So David HaMelech is taking it and stretching it even further. You know what? You know what happens to the children of a tzaddik? They'll never need. Because they learn by Tata and Mama's table, by Tata and Mama's eyes, how a tzaddik behaves. and how a tzaddik pursues Hashem. The responsibility of a parent in this is tremendous. I recall once when I was expecting, my wife was expecting, our first child. And I heard a shmooze from a rav in town here who's known as a very, very, very good public speaker. He was saying a particular drasha. The particular drasha is not that important, but it had to do with Avram Avinu and Avram Avinu's, Avram Avinu was an old man already when Hashem told him Lech Lecha. He said, go out of your father's house. Go out from the influence of your father Terah, who was a worshipper of idols. Avram Avinu, an old, old man, the test of Avram Avinu, who on his own as a child recognized Hashem, and now is an old man, and Hashem has to tell him, you know what, you still have some lingering influences from your father's house. Ravana Shalalan, are you kidding me? What's the whole Chumash is about? It's about Avram Avinu and how he got rid of the influence of his father's house. And now, after all this, he comes to be an elderly, elderly man, and Hashem tells him, you know what, Lech Lecha, get rid of that stuff from your father's house. And Avram Avinu says, fine. Fine. If it were me, I'd have said, hey, what do you think I've been doing for the last 80 years? So the speaker said, you know what? You can't fool your kids. And he went as the rest of it. He said, you know what? Everybody can think anything they want about you, but you know who really knows what who you are and what you do and what you think is important and what kind of Eved Hashem you are, is your kids. So I was terrified. I ran home and I said, I don't think we can have children here. I'm not qualified. You're going to have this child on your own. He said, you know what? You can fool your chavrusa. Our chavrusa is going to think you're the biggest tzaddik and you learn day and night, and you can fool your rebbe. Right? Some of the Rebbeim there didn't think they could be fooled, but he said, you can fool your Rebbe that you're just the Baal Midas Tavis of the class, and you can fool people, and tell you can fool everybody, you can fool your own parents, but you can't fool your kids. Your kids know what's what and who's who at the end of the day. So says David HaMelech, you know what, and not only did I never see a tzaddik forsaken, I never saw a children leave either. Because when you grow up in the house of tzaddikim, that's what you see, and that's what you become. It's a tremendous responsibility. I remember someone saying that, you know, by the time a child reaches high school or is about ready to get married, how many times have you had a chance to teach them what yontif should be like? Every year you have a yontif. Let's say sukkahs. They've had 17, 18, 19 sukkahs in your house, and then they're off and getting married. A lot of parents, along about the 14th sukkah, start thinking, you know, what am I? Okay, I better start working on how to educate my children about what sukkahs is about. Well, you're a little late. There's a famous story about someone who went to the stipler and asked him, an Eitzah and how to start teaching his children about something. He said, how old is your child? He said, 10. Piper said, it's too late. You should have come to me 9.5 years ago. So it says David HaMelech, a powerful pasuk. I'm an old man, I'm a young man, I've seen it all. I've experienced everything. Velo ra'isi tzadik nezav, I never saw a tzadik forsaken. V'zaro mevakesh lachem, I never saw his children walk. David HaMelech goes on to say, Kol yom chonin umal v'vizara livracha. All day long he's gracious, he lends, and his children will have a blessing. Sur meira ve'asev tov, shechein le'elam. Famous pasuk. Says David HaMelech, Sur meira, turn from evil, ve'asev tov, and do tov, shechein le'elam, and dwell forever. That's it, that's the whole Torah right there. Sur meira, ve'aseita. Turn from evil and do good. Shchayin le'olam. If only it was that easy. Sur meira, ve'aseita, and shchayin le'olam. Turn from evil and do good, and you'll dwell forever. Ki Hashem ohev mishpat, because Hashem loves justice. He loves to reward people. V'lo yazov es chasidav le'olam nishmaro, and he never forsakes his chasidim. They're guarded forever. V'zera reshoim, but the seed and the children from reshoim, Nichras, they're cut off. David HaMelech finishes this section by saying, Tzadikim Yirshu Haaretz. And you know what will happen at the end of all of this? Let me tell you how the story ends, says David HaMelech. Let me jump you ahead to the last page for those of you who are impatient. Tzadikim Yirshu Haaretz. The Tzadikim will inherit the land, V'yishkenu La'ad Alecha. And they'll dwell in it forever. That's what will happen at the end, says David HaMelech. Then David HaMelech goes on to the next section, a small section of a few pesukim about how a tzaddik is saved from false charges against him. False charges against him are something David HaMelech had tremendous experience with. How many of us can say that we've never had anyone in our entire lives say anything false about us? Simply not true. Says David HaMelech, you know what? Ki tzaddik yege chochma. A tzaddik's mouth utters wisdom. Ulishona tadaber mishpat, and his tongue speaks justice. Now, it's a little unclear what this means when it says that his mouth utters wisdom. Rashi says it means in his heart, not really out loud. But when it utters wisdom, the other Mephorshim, like Ibn Ezra, say uttering wisdom means he's even willing, a tzaddik doesn't live just for himself. He's uttering wisdom. He's willing to instruct those around him. And he's willing to help and share what he knows with other people and instruct other people. Well, the shono tadaber mishpat, and his tongue speaks judgment. He'll teach others how to do what he does. Soras alakav belibo, the teaching of Hashem is in his heart. Lo simara shurav, and his feet do not falter. Sofer rasha letzadik, the rasha person watches for the tzadik. Mevakesh lahamiso, and wants to put him to death. Hashem lo yazvenu v'yado, but Hashem does not leave him in the hands of the Russia. V'lo yirshenu v'hishafto, and he will not condemn the tzaddik to the judgment to the mishpat of the Russia. V'hishafto. It's a little confusing in the tenses there. He will not condemn the tzaddik to be judged by the Rasha. That's this whole section for David HaMelech. What David HaMelech is putting in four pesukim here. And they're saying, you know what else is going to happen to a tzaddik? A tzaddik is going to be willing to share his knowledge with others. And when people say bad things about him, and say untrue things about him, and the Russia plots against him, Hashem will not leave him to the devices of the Russia. David HaMelech knows from whence he speaks. Finally, David HaMelech concludes with the last section, reminding people to trust in Hashem. He concludes, starts with Pasuk Lamed Dalet, and he says, Kaveh al Hashem ushmor darko, v'rominka l'reshes aretz, v'ikareis rishayim tira. Says David HaMelech, Kaveh al Hashem, hope to Hashem, hope in Hashem, Ushmor darko, and guard the ways of Hashem. Uveromimka, the romimka, I've always had trouble saying, romimka la reshes aretz, and he will raise you up and celebrate and exalt you to inherit the land, v'ikaris rishayim tireh, and you will be able to see for yourself the destruction of the Rishayim. David HaMelech is promising you that you will see this promise fulfilled. Raishi Rasha Oritz, I saw a wicked man, a powerful man with strong roots. Umisara ke Ezrach, and rooted as a find the right page here. Raishi Rasha Oritz, Umisara ke Ezrach Ranan. I saw a wicked man, powerful, well-rooted, as a native, fresh, v'yavur v'hine enenu. And he passed away, he went, and behold, avakshehu v'lo nimtza, he's not here, and he's nowhere to be found. When a Russia passes away, when a Russia's life is done, and he's nifter, what's left? Shemor tam v'rei yosha, watch, guard, observe the innocent person, v'rei yosha, and look at the upright, honest person, kiachreis le'ish shalom, for there is a future man of peace. A simple person who tries to follow the upright path, that's the person that will be called an ish shalom. And David HaMelech said, those are the people that will inherit the land. Ufishayim, ufishim, the people who do averas, people who do our pashayim, who deliberately go against the will of Hashem, nishibnu yachta, destroyed together, achris rishayim nechraso, and the future of the wicked people is cut off. The rishayim's future is cut off. The rasha thinks he enjoys his life here, and then it's over. And it's cut off. L'shua sadiki me'ashem, and the Yeshua, the salvation of tzadikim, comes from Hashem. Ve'azin be'ei sara, their stronghold, their refuge in times of distress. Ve'azrei m'shav ve'afaltem, yefaltem rishayim ve'ashiyem kichasuvo. Hashem helps and rescued them. He rescued them from the wicked, and he saved them. Why? Kichasuvo, because they took refuge, and they depended upon Hashem. There's no tefillahs here. David HaMelech has... We're almost back to what we started, if you remember, in very first Kapitel Aleph, where David HaMelech was giving instructions. And one of the things that David HaMelech does, Tehillim is supposed to be our blueprint for how to accomplish a spiritual perfection. Tehillim is supposed to be a blueprint for what we're supposed to do. Here David HaMelech takes a break from the tefillos, he takes a break. Everything that David HaMelech is saying in this kapitel almost has a certain simplicity or a tamimus to it. Trust in Hashem. Follow the ways of Hashem. Don't let people get you down. Don't care about what people say to you. It sounds almost like simple instructions. It sounds almost too simple. You know, where's the... Okay, what am I supposed to do exactly when the guy calls the phone and he's screaming his head off at me because this and that and that? Where's the instructions for that? No, simple instructions. How can we learn from such simple instructions? I'm glad you asked that. And I'll draw on a story from Rabbi Rubin again. You know, every time I get a new sefer, guys get to have a new story. I just got a new set of Sfarim on Tehillim, and so next week we got all new stories coming. And that is, he tells a story about he and his wife trying to decide how to decorate their sukkah once they became a Bubby and a Zaidi, and they were trying to, they wanted all the grandchildren and everything to enjoy the sukkah. They're trying to decide how they should decorate and set up the sukkah, and what kind of decorations, and finally they decided that they would let the kids do it. And you know what, if it didn't turn out perfectly designed, and it had a certain kid to it, you know what? The kids would do it and they would live with that and they would enjoy it. And he said the kids took a simple sukkah and the first thing they did is they put up pictures of tzaddiki. And he said that made him think for a second. Look around in the world. People are impressed by what they see around them. Ooh, look at that. That guy is so successful. That guy is such a Talmud Chacham. That guy is such a businessman. Ooh, look at that house. Is amazing. Did you see that house? All right. Did you see that car? All right. Did you see that guy? He is so tall. He is so short. She is so pretty. She is so not pretty. People are impressed by what they see around them. What you see around you makes an impression. But those are simplistic impressions. So we see that we're able, on a certain level, to lead lives in a very simplistic fashion. We walk down the street on Shabbos and we see someone in a spiffy new suit and right away we have a simplistic impression of that person. Oh, sharp guy over there. Right? We see someone walking down the street on Shabbos with maybe a sort of a verschlumped tie over here and not sure if the jacket's the right color with the pants and the shoes haven't been shined since 1923 and maybe it's white socks, black, whatever my daughters would be terrified if I wore out into the street. All right, all that, and you get a, what do you get right away? You get an impression. What is that impression? Not such a positive impression. So here we are saying, you know, David HaMelech, how can you give us such simplistic advice? David HaMelech saying, you live your life like simpletons. You're impressed by everything around you. Everything around you makes an impression on you. So you know what, says David HaMelech? Here's all you have to do. Change your impressions. Hang up the pictures of tzaddiki. When you sit down in your house, instead of being impressed by who's got what and who's done what, be impressed by the pictures of the tzaddikim hanging on the wall. He said at first, everyone says he was a little embarrassed to admit how much he liked sitting in the den, in the sukkah, and looking at the pictures of the tzaddikim. And he turned away a little bit when the kids came in, because he was just sitting looking at the pictures of the tzaddikim. And then he realized, no, that's exactly what they should be. Zevin HaMelech, you know what? I'm giving you simple advice. People on a certain level are simplistic. They get impressions of what's around them. So get an impression of the right thing. Get an impression of the faces in the sukkah of the tzaddiki. And as Hashem, if we can somehow internalize that message, that when we look up, the impression that we should put on ourselves is the impression of the faces of tzaddikim and Gedol Yisrael, if we could somehow keep that level of tamimus, then the Tzadav HaMelech will all be zaycha to sit in the sukkah Gedaila as Hashem.